This is Dr. Tim Turlop from Turlop Chiropractic inviting you to join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality. Each week we'll be addressing topics that are ultimately important to your health and to mine. Topics about prevention of disease, expressing greater well-being, more mobility, and vitality overall. Join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
Hey, it's Wednesday morning. It's your 30 Minutes of Vitality. Look at that. Dr. Tim Turlop is in the house and ready to give you your 30 Minutes to Vitality every Wednesday at this time, 11:30 to 12. Dr. Tim Turlop in the studios, T-E-R-L-E-P. Make your appointment with Dr. Turlop at T-E-R-L-E-P, 352-666-2222. Find him online in this program every Wednesday, your 30 Minutes of Vitality.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes of Vitality. Dr. Tim Turlop here. And this is 30 Minutes of Vitality, as we've already said that. And we are gifted to be vital. We are designed to be that. We just had interference we need to remove. Right. And then we get that expression of vitality. The interference comes in lots of different forms, but we either need to add stuff or get rid of stuff. Right. And when we do that, we actually enjoy that gift of vitality. So today we're going to go ahead and actually finish our discussion of vitamin D.
Yes.
Probably for the year. Because it's sort of like Lord of the Rings. This is the trilogy. Okay, that was maybe not nearly as epic as Lord of the Rings, but it will have to make it do.
My precious.
So, thank you very much. As I look at my bottle of vitamin D, my precious.
There you go.
Right? And so we've reviewed a bunch of stuff. We've talked about vitamin D, a lot of the implications in health in so many levels. Right? And so we just want to do a quick recap and then hit on a couple of other highlights that we need to make sure that we're looking at. So vitamin D, as we know, it's not a vitamin. It's actually a steroid-based hormone inside of our bodies. We call it a vitamin only because it's activated predominantly from the sun. We know that we don't get it very much from food. Not the greatest way to try and get it, because most of the time it's supplemented in food, right? So it's not the way to get it. The way to get it is in sun, and it is the best way to get it. And we said that what we do is expose as much of our bodies as we can on a daily basis, preferably in the midday sun, for between 15 and 30 minutes, never letting your skin get more than a little touch pink. Mm-hmm. Sun is great. It's only burning that's bad, right? So we want to make sure that we get that. And if we are of a darker complexion, right, if we're, you know, Black, Latino, darker complected folks, we need to actually have a little bit longer exposure in the sun. It's pretty dramatic, the difference that we need to have. So we just need to make sure that if we have a darker complexion, we, you know, come from a Mediterranean country where our family is very dark complected, we need to have more sun exposure in order to get it, right? So if we don't do the sun exposure thing as much as we need to, we need to make sure that we're actually supplementing with vitamin D, right? And the only way to know how much we should be taking is quiz question for JW this morning.
Well, blood test.
Blood test, right? Panel, yeah. Is to make sure it's done. There are very simple ones that are very accurate, like what we use at the office. We just need one drop, little drop of your blood. That's all we need.
Amazing.
To make sure that we actually find out where you are and to make sure we dose it properly. I'm shocked, actually, because you can read just about any place people who are really adamant about trying to get that done properly. And to go, well, you know, I'm in the sun for 15 to 30 minutes every day. And the days I'm not in the sun, I do take a vitamin D supplement. I take 2,000, 5,000, whatever. And we test them and they're still at 32. Right? They think they're getting more because they're making it. But again, even if you're in the sun regularly, we need to make sure that we're testing to make sure you're getting where we need to be. Because it's, as I said, there's variations in each of us individually, how we process the sun, how the sun affects our production, when we take certain amounts, how our bodies, it's varying for each person. Wow. It's a little bit different.
That
so we need,
it, yeah.
Yep, we need to make sure that we're checking you serologically in your blood, because it's so critical to make sure that we're getting it done. The steroid-based hormone we call a vitamin, right, is so critical to making sure that we're actually enjoying optimal health as much as we possibly can, right? So that's really a brief synopsis of what we talked about with vitamin D. We didn't get into all. We talked about cancer. We talked about type 2 diabetes. We've talked about memory. We've talked about Alzheimer's. We've talked about bone health. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. One of the first ways that we got in many, many years ago, and I was trying to figure that out this week, how long ago we started actually looking at vitamin D for our patients, and it was about 15 years ago that we started looking at it. And we did it with most of our patients because some research started coming out that was looking, as we talk about all the time, with inflammation in the body. Well, we have found that most of our patients, when they come in, have a generalized state of inflammation in their bodies. And when we get inflamed, when you get your thumb gets all inflamed, does it feel normal or does it hurt?
It hurts.
It hurts. So when we get anything anywhere that goes wrong, do you think it hurts more or less when you have systemic inflammation?
It hurts more.
It hurts more, right? So that was one of the first things that led us to actually start looking at vitamin D as another strategy to use to bring down this systemic inflammation, because it makes us hurt more, even just with something that's called WBP, whole body pain, right? Even with that, it helps to dial it down. People with fibromyalgia, that sort of thing, it's the research is really clear. Fibromyalgia sufferers actually have so profoundly lower rates of vitamin D in their blood. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? We've even got research now over the course of the last probably 6 to 8 years that looks at disc disorders. People with herniated discs are typically 9 times more likely to have profound vitamin D deficiency. Right? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Seriously? Yeah. Even people with chronic low back pain, 650% more likely to have significantly low vitamin D levels. So when you come to me with actually a chronic low back going, gee, I've been suffering with this off and on for the last, you know, 6, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, and now it's become intolerable. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to make sure that we're looking at that, because you're 6.5 times more likely. And it's one of the strategies we need to use to make sure it doesn't get worse, to dial down the inflammation so our care becomes optimal and super effective. Right? So it's just a simple strategy, really inexpensive, and has all these other cool side benefits that we've talked about too. So that's how we first got into it. Well, then the research actually started going even further into that. And one of the things that we now know neurologically, because remember we said that every cell in the body has receptor sites on it for vitamin D, this steroid-based hormone we call a vitamin. Well, nerve cells are no different, and the nerve cells are responsible for actually controlling and coordinating everything. Well, what we found, there's a fancy type of nerve cell, we won't get into the fancy names for it, that actually, they conduct pain messages for us, right? And what that does. So there's like a nerve fiber type for like everything, right? It's kind of funny. For temperature, for vibration, for pain, for position, for all kinds of weird stuff. One of them actually tells us about pain. Well, these particular types of nerves, let's say it grows from 0 to 10, right? And when I get to 7, it'll fire, right? It'll start, the nerve won't, it will not send an impulse to my brain. It'll be firing, but not to the point where I become consciously aware till it gets to the number 7. Mm. And then I go, wow, that hurt. I can have a 3 and it's firing, but it's not so much that we actually go, ow,
right?
I get to 5, nothing. I get to 6, it's getting close. Get to 7, bam, ow. I get to 8. Even more out. I get to 9. Wow, that's even worse. Mm-hmm. And a 10. Wow, that's amazingly bad, right? So that's kind of how those nerve endings work. Well, when you have low vitamin D levels, the research is showing us it takes it from a 7 where it fires, and all of a sudden it drops it down to maybe a 4 or a 3 is all it takes to ramp up to where then we become consciously aware of the pain and go, ow, but it's only at a 3. It's not supposed to fire till it gets to 7.
Okay.
Now I'm perceiving things that should not be painful as painful.
Right.
Right? You come and tap me on the shoulder and go, hey, yeah. Dr. T, how's it going? And you tap me on the shoulder and I go, oh, JW, could you not do that? Man, that hurts.
Yeah.
Right? So things all of a sudden start to become painful that are not.
Huh.
So again, when we're dealing with people who come in who say, Joe, it's my knee, it's my shoulder, my neck is bad, my arm is numb, my low back, oh my goodness, oh, whatever it is. Right. If their vitamin D status is very low, which we know that greater than 50% are deficient, 85% insufficient, the likelihood that that person who comes to see us has this vitamin D level that's low is pretty darn high. And so we want to make sure that for inflammation and for that, that for these fancy nerve endings that register pain, that we're trying to take that back up to a 7 away from a 3 or a 4 so that things that are just normal, we don't perceive as painful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's one of the strategies we want to do. You came to me because you're uncomfortable and you'd like to feel comfortable and engage in life again freely.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, let's make sure we're doing everything that we know to do the strategies that we can do that are inexpensive, effective, no side effects that we can actually implement to make sure that we get the best outcome, the best effect, so you get what you came for.
Process of elimination.
Right? Makes sense,
yeah.
Right?
So
it's just a simple, simple strategy.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
It is.
Because I love it because when we do that, we get all this host of other good benefits.
Right. Yeah.
Right, that come with it. We get protection from all those other horrible, ravaging diseases we've mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. And one of them, even the simple idea of a cold or a flu, right? So then we take that, you came in, we optimize your vitamin D, and then colds and flus actually have been shown to be reduced on average about 40% for people when they come in. Now, it can be as high as 70%. There's some cool research on about 18, 19,000 people, you know, that was looking at vitamin D in upper respiratory infections, right? And showed that the people with the lowest, when there was low, when we bring them up to optimal, will reduce their upper respiratory infection rate by 70%. Wow, right?
Yeah.
Right? There's no vaccine that hopes to do that.
Right.
Right? So it's an amazing thing. So the lower it is, the more susceptible we are. We bring it up, they have the greatest relief. People with higher levels, when we bring them up to there, we still get 20, 25, 30% reductions, right? But they started at 30 or 35. We take them to 55, and all of a sudden we see this 25, 30% reduction in upper respiratory infections. It's not as great as if they're down at 12, right?
Yeah.
Right. But they're still getting this significant. Who'd like to reduce your number of colds you get by a third?
Yeah, right. So it has nothing to do with temperature or weather or getting caught in the rain.
Nope.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely not. Which, again, is one of the reasons why we see at the higher latitudes. Yeah. We mentioned that on a previous program, I think 2 weeks ago. Right. When anybody who's a transplant down here or is a snowbird, right, at this time of year, snowbirds are all gone. They've all flown back north, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
But if we're a transplant down here, right, anybody mm-hmm. who's from the north, you say, when's cold and flu season? And everybody says, oh, it's November, December, season, January, February, March.
Yep.
Right? Well, where'd the sun go from November to March?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And even when you get it, the angle is such that it just is not glaring down on you very much. It's very tangential because the angle of the way the earth shifts, we don't get the direct sunlight. And then when it's cold and flu season, there you go.
Yeah.
Right? Amazing. And it's the worst. Cold and flu season is the worst at the end of March.
Oh, wow.
Research shows it, right? And so that declines, and when's the worst? At the end of that season. Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Right? It's kind of a shock when you start looking at some of that stuff that starts to happen. So even for a cold and flus, right? So people, and it's kind of fun when you actually have people, they get under care, they start doing some of the things and working on the five pillars with us as they get the pain out of them, they go, wow, I'm going to keep coming because this is strange. I've got more energy. I sleep better. I think better. I just have my digestion is better. I have more regular movements. I have everything seems to be getting better. I'm just going to keep coming for this because this is good.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yes,
that's why I do it for myself and my family as well. Right. So vitamin D is one of those things that facilitates that. And you watch that start to transpire for people. And the colds and the flus, we did it because we want to make sure the nerve endings are working properly. We want to make sure that their inflammation is dialed down. And then we get all this other host of other wonderful things. The other thing about vitamin D, when we take a supplement that we want to make sure that we're paying attention to, is there's another vitamin. And some people might have heard of vitamin K.
Yeah.
Right? And there's two types of vitamin K. There's K1 and K2, right? Why do we always have to have this be confusing? I don't know, but it just is, okay? But we don't, for our purposes, we want to look at vitamin K2. K1 is more for clotting and that sort of thing. K2 actually works outside of the liver and does some different stuff. But vitamin D helps to actually, if you think of vitamin D as going into our body and does all these really neat things, and one of the things we've talked about that it does is helps with osteoporosis and bone health.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to maintain bone health so we don't get osteoporosis or its precursor osteopenia. So we make sure we don't get that problem. Well, D helps us with that. And when we take D, it does mobilize calcium. It does help us absorb calcium. It helps us utilize calcium. But sometimes that's actually like having a train on the track without a conductor, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
K2 is sort of like the director. And says, okay, we've got all this stuff happening. So now I'm going to tell you where calcium goes. All right. So you guys go to the bones. You guys go to the teeth, right? And we don't use it in other places. Do not go to the blood vessels. Do not go to the heart wall. Do not go to the other soft tissues. Without K2, vitamin D can actually mobilize calcium and actually cause it to actually increase its deposition in the blood vessel walls and in other soft tissues. So it can increase our risk of cardiac disease, da 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 da.
Doesn't vitamin K have something to do with potassium?
No, that's a great question. Oh. That's awesome because I laugh because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that.
Right.
Because K plus is actually the, from the table of elements, periodic table of elements, right, is actually the symbol for potassium.
Okay.
Right. It is not potassium.
Okay.
Vitamin K is a completely, it's a quinone, and there are two different types of, who cares, it doesn't matter. Okay. It's not a mineral. Potassium is a mineral on the periodic table of elements. Uh-huh. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
Right. And these are vitamins, completely different structure and not the same thing. So really, thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say that.
Yeah,
clarity. They go, okay, that's potassium, right? No. And I understand that confusion because we all remember high school chemistry and seeing the K plus, right? And people think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It is not, right? So K2, and it is also not a mountain someplace.
Right. I scaled it.
I scaled K2, right? So we want to make sure that we're getting enough of that. Now, and the higher the dose that you need to take of vitamin D, you want to be making sure you're taking more K2 with it, right? So we use a vitamin D supplement that has K2 in it. Our Core 4 actually has K2 supplemented inside the plant-based multi is there as well. So that's already incorporated. When we do the Core 4, we make sure that K2 is incorporated for our patients, right? But the more you have to take, the more K2 you want. So we don't want to put any other additional risks where we get calcium actually building up in any of the other tissues.
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of a significant thing when we supplement. Now, do we have to worry about that in the sun? Nope. Do I ever have to worry about overdosing from sun and getting too much vitamin D in my body if I get it from sun? Nope. No. Can't happen. Your body has its auto-regulatory mechanisms, and when it gets to the point that you've got enough, it'll shut down. Mm. It will not overmake. The only time that you can get, sometimes it's called vitamin D toxicity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's called hypervitaminosis D. So same thing. You get too much D in your body.
Yeah.
Okay. And it becomes a little problematic because D is fat soluble, right? So in a fat soluble vitamin, unlike say vitamin C or vitamin B5, right? They're water soluble vitamins and they tend to actually flush out, not completely, but if we get excess, we actually eliminate it, most of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Right, and it has far fewer deleterious effects. Vitamin D is one of the fat-soluble guys. So when we get it into us, we get into excess, it gets deposited in our fat.
Okay.
And we retain it, and we can get excess. Hmm. But I want to stress, because I've had a couple of patients who've maybe read an article, or they've been told by a different physician, oh my goodness gracious, you can't take more than 2,000 IUs of vitamin D, or you could actually get hypervitaminosis D. It's a real problem. Hmm. No. I mean, it is so hard to get hypervitaminosis D. It's ridiculous. Those of you who are listening, unless you really want it, you'll have to work at it to get it. So if that's something that's in your mind, let it go. All right, because even taking 4,000, 5,000, 8,000 units a day, I mean, even at 10,000 IUs a day, you're not going to get over 100. It's just not going to happen.
Well, does that mean that people that are carrying more fat are more at risk?
Can be. Okay. That's a balancing act because when we're actually heavier, we actually tend to have significantly lower vitamin D levels. I mean, it's universal.
Makes sense,
Every single patient that we test who is of a heavier body habitus or body size tends to have significantly low vitamin D, and it takes more to bring it up. They tend to be lower, and it takes a lot heavier dose to bring up the level to a normal level, right? Another reason why it's kind of universal. Remember, we talked about interferences, and certain interferences, like being overweight, interferes on every level. So it lowers that down, and you have to take excess to bring it up. So it's an interference, and that's one of the things that we want to make sure we try not to do because it hurts us dramatically, right? So don't worry about doing that. I mean, literally, we to see, I don't want to get too far into the crazy stuff, but like I'll keep it simple. When we actually have excess vitamin D, the biggest thing you'll see is excess calcium in the blood, right? Called hypercalcemia. And when that happens, I mean, the person's going crazy, and it never happens with sun. It's only going to happen from people who are supplementing, period. That's it. Okay. So, but it takes a ton. I mean, you'll never see that if somebody has a vitamin D level in their blood of 100 nanograms per milliliter or less. You're never going to see it. Matter of fact, the current research is showing you have to get over 150 before you'll even see that mobilization of calcium and see those levels start to happen. Hmm. And you probably have to take 40 to 50,000 units a day, right, of vitamin D3 to get that to happen. I mean, you'd really have to make it. You'd have to have your my goal is to get sick from taking too much of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really a hard thing to do. I mean, it is exceedingly rare. And I have yet, we had one patient, Marilyn Z. And Marilyn, if you're listening, hi there. Right? And Marilyn's a delightful person. She's literally the only person that we ever tested in the last 3 years who has had a normal vitamin D level. She came in at like 54. She's the only person.
Wow. Incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is everywhere.
Right.
Right. So we have this. So don't let that scare you. Because sometimes I hear that and I don't know why that's thrown out there as a potential risk.
Well, there's a difference in vitamin D's though, right? I mean, because you get the D3, you get the
D3 and the D2.
Right.
And to recap that, we want to take D3.
Right. Yeah.
If you're taking a prescription D2, mm-hmm. I would recommend that you not take that. You can actually take a much smaller dose of the D3. It's significantly less expensive, particularly if your insurance company doesn't cover it. Mm-hmm. You get it significantly less expensive, and it's far more effective, right? So even taking vitamin D3 is just lower doses, take them every day, a lot less expense, and it works a whole lot better in the body mm-hmm. than D2 does. So I get a little frustrated with that,
yeah.
You know, instead of just having somebody writing a prescription for it, mm-hmm. because the synthetic stuff that it comes from, it just doesn't work as well. It just doesn't work as well. It doesn't have the effect. It doesn't affect mortality and cancer. It doesn't affect all those things in the same way that D3 does.
And we should get enough calcium in our diets.
Oh, in America, we don't have to worry so much about calcium right. supplementation.
Yeah.
Right? So that's actually because when we lose minerals in the bone, we've talked about that before, we have really low vitamin D levels overall, and then we do things in our diets that cause us to excrete too much calcium. So that's not because we don't get enough calcium, it's because of other factors, vitamin D being one of them, and then a lot of our dietary indiscretions are others that cause us to actually urinate out more calcium than we actually absorb and utilize. It's called a negative calcium balance. Oh. But that's one of the things that we just want to make sure that we're watching that. The D3 will help with that dramatically, far more. If you're worried about osteoporosis, yeah. Do your D3. Make sure you get between that sweet spot of 45 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. That's the sweetest of all spots is where we want to be with that. And that will affect your bone health more significantly than taking calcium ever would. Remember, we talked about excess calcium yeah. mobilized in the body. That's why we need the K2 can lead to significantly other vascular problems and other heart tissue okay. problems, as well as soft tissue that becomes heart tissue because it gets deposited where it ain't supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
We need the conductor on the train to tell the train where to go. That's what K2 does.
Cool.
Okay. So it's critical and we're done talking about vitamin D for the year. But it is one of the simplest, cheapest health strategies, right? It is so inexpensive. Please don't think of this as something where people, and I always laugh because we talk about it a lot and people will joke and go, well, you just want to sell me vitamin D. I always go, really?
Yeah.
Right. For 20 bucks for 4 months.
I know, it's so cheap.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, right. There's like, who's going to make any money?
Right.
This is about what's true and what's effective.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And here we are on the radio telling people, go get the blood test, go buy stuff, go wherever you go to get the vitamin, but make sure you're doing this. It is one of the best health strategies you can incorporate so that you're more vital and enjoying that life that you were meant to enjoy.
Dr. Terlep, T-E-R-L-E-P, offices in Spring Hill on Northcliff Boulevard, just a little east of US 19. Make that appointment with Dr. Terlep, T-E-R-L-E-P at 352-666-2222. And you can have that blood panel done right there in his office. He also carries the Core 4 with all the vitamins and nutrition that you need within those supplements. But in the meantime, keep these words of wisdom close to your heart because they're your 30 minutes to vitality each and every Wednesday at this time. Dr. Terlep, thank you for your time.
Let not your hearts be troubled.